And today's gospel is from the third chapter of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable now in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Barbara Brown Taylor tells this story. Once upon a time, there was a woman who set out to discover the meaning of life. First, she read history, philosophy, psychology, religion. While she acquired great knowledge, she still didn't find what she was looking for. So then she started to seek out knowledgeable people and engage them in lively conversations about the meaning of life. But no two agreed, and still she had no answer. Then she started traveling all around the world, South America, Africa, India. Everywhere she found people who told her that although they didn't know what the meaning of life was, they'd heard of a man who did. The only problem was that nobody seemed to know where he lived. But finally one day, as she continued her wanderings, she was deep in the Himalayas, someone told her how to reach his house. It was a little hut way up on a mountain just below the tree line. So she began to climb, and she climbed, and she climbed. And when she finally reached his front door, her knuckles were frozen from the cold. She knocked, and the door opened, and a kind-looking old man appeared. And he said, "Yes?" Absolutely thrilled that she'd found him, she blurted out, "I've traveled the world to find you and ask you one question. What is the meaning of life?" "Please come in and have some tea," said the old man. "No," she said, no, thank you. "I didn't travel all this way to have tea. I came for an answer. Please, won't you tell me what's the meaning of life?" "We shall have some tea," said the old man. So she relented. She went inside. He began to brew tea. And as the tea brewed, she began to tell him about all the books she'd read, all the people she'd met, all the places she'd visited. The old man listened. What else could he do? She left no room for him to say anything. As she continued talking, he placed in her hand this fragile teacup and he began to pour tea. She was so busy talking, she didn't notice when the cup was full. So he kept pouring. And as the tea overflowed the cup and spilled to the floor in a steaming waterfall, she finally yelled, "What are you doing?" as the tea burned her hand. "It's full. Can't you see? There's no more room." "Just so," said the old man. "You come here wanting something from me, but what can I do? There's no room in your cup. Come back when it's empty, and then we'll talk." In today's gospel reading, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He was a religious leader, a Pharisee. He held a very powerful religious and political position by serving on the Jewish Sanhedrin Council, yet he was seeking something. Was he seeking an answer to the question of what is the meaning of life, at least what's the meaning of his life? Was he trying to figure out what Jesus had to do with the meaning of life, with the meaning of his life? As Christians, we may be familiar with this story. And the truth is that Christians read this story through different theological lenses. On the one hand, our evangelical, quote-unquote, brothers and sisters read the story in a way they latch onto Jesus' words, "You must be born above," which must be born from above, and they prefer the translation, "You must be born again." They connect that with a theology that you need to have a conversion moment at some point in your life when you accept Christ, when you ask Jesus into your heart, perhaps by reciting some version of a sinner's prayer, and that's when you can know you are saved. That's when you can know you are born again. That theology has a lot to do with your decision and with the seriousness or sincerity with which you say that prayer. I know God is a big God and works in all our lives in many different ways. There was a time in my own spiritual pilgrimage when I shared a similar theology. I mean no disrespect to my brothers and sisters who believe that. That's not what I believe any longer. That's not generally what we believe as Lutherans. And so now I see that story, and there's nothing in that story that suggests that kind of theology. It's part of a more modern theology that goes back no more than 300 years that's been imposed on this text of Jesus and Nicodemus. Does not go back to the early church. So on the other hand, as a Lutheran Christian, I prefer the translation, "You must be born from above," because that seems to emphasize divine grace more, what God does. Just as we are unable to physically birth ourselves, right? So we're unable by our own power, by our own seriousness, by our own sincerity to spiritually birth or rebirth ourselves. And we Lutherans hear in Jesus' words, "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." We hear baptismal language in there, right? Water, God's action, Spirit. So that's what I believe. That's what probably most of us believe. And yet maybe we're imposing some of our theology on this story as well. I'd like a fresh window through which to view this story. And so I like thinking about Nicodemus as the woman in Barbara Brown Taylor's story. That maybe he's seeking to ask Jesus, "What is the meaning of life? At least what's the meaning of my life, Jesus? What do you have to do with it?" And like the woman in the story, he doesn't get the response he wants. He's thoroughly confused by what Jesus says. And I kind of think we're still confused 2,000 years later. "How can these things be?" he asks. "How can an old person re-enter the womb and be reborn?" And I like to think of Jesus like the old man in Taylor's story who says to Nicodemus, "You come here, Nicodemus, wanting something from me, but what can I do? There's no room in your cup. Come back when it's empty, and then we'll talk." Perhaps Nicodemus was too full. Too full of his knowledge, too full of his own pride, too full of his accomplishments and achievements, maybe too full of his position, his power, his privilege, maybe too full of himself. And perhaps we become too full as well. Too full of our assumptions about others, from the neighbors we know to the immigrant strangers we don't know. Too full of our assumptions about our bank accounts and our investments. Too full of our presumptions about our own health. Too full of our political viewpoints. Too full of our correct theology. Too full of our racial privilege or our privilege as Americans. Too full of some success we've had. Too full of thinking we've got it figured out. Too full for really needing God. Perhaps Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, and Jesus is saying to us, that the only way to see and enter the kingdom of God is to be emptied. Emptied. And then refilled, renewed, rebirthed by the power of the Spirit of God. And that is never just a one-time event or experience, whether that one-time event be an infant baptism or a coming to faith experience as an adult. It's a lifelong process. So Martin Luther said, we need to be spiritually reborn daily. And even as physical birth involves some pain, some messiness, even blood, if you will, is spiritual birth or rebirth any different? A year ago, I bought David Brooks' book, The Second Mountain. Brooks writes for the New York Times. In that book, he talks about a two-mountain-shaped life. He says, climbing life's first mountain is about growing up, developing your identity, school, career, maybe having a family, seeking success, achievements, making your mark, developing your reputation. But then something happens. You may be standing at the top of the first mountain, successful, but unsatisfied. Is this all there is, you may wonder? Isn't there a deeper journey? That, for some people, triggers an emptying. Or you may get knocked off that first mountain. You may get knocked off by failure. Failure in your career, or your family, or your reputation. Or you may get knocked off by tragedy, by suffering. That's when you find you're no longer on the first mountain, but you're down in the valley. Life has many ways of emptying us. Sometimes, Brooks says, people in the valley are just broken. Some seem never to recover. But sometimes, he says, people in the valley are broken open. They're broken open to becoming a whole person who love their neighbor as themselves, not as some kind of slogan, but as a practical reality. They then find themselves on this second mountain, on a new journey, more other-centered than self-centered, seeking interdependence rather than independence. The second mountain, he says, is the journey after the first mountain, and it's more generous, and it's more satisfying. And it may happen at any age. Perhaps this is another way to think about the story of Nicodemus and Jesus. Perhaps it's another way to think about spiritual birth beyond being simply a one-time moment or event, but more of a lifelong journey. The Spirit of God can refill us, can renew us, can even rebirth us, but there's got to be room. Do we have room? Do we have room or are we too full? Sometimes there's no room in our cup. Sometimes you and I don't have the openness, the humility, the vulnerability to let the Spirit rebirth us. Maybe these are the times when the risen Christ whispers to me and you, come back when your cup is empty, and then we'll talk. Amen.